laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps. Doing quick wardrobe changes here right before we record, but everything's on.
So we're good.
What are we talking about? F1. We're back at it.
Books?
With F1.
F1.
Yes. Fast laps.
Yep, fast laps.
Where we're going to recap the Mexico GP, and we're also going to preview the, do we call it the Brazilian GP, or should I call what are we calling it this year?
I mean, I can do
the... Oh, no, yeah, save it. I'm looking forward to it.
We're already mouth tempo.
And I didn't even give you... Yeah, we're all off. I didn't even give you a good title for your Brazil preview this week. It just says Joe's. It has an apostrophe
on it. Just my name.
It.
Yeah, Joe's, yeah.
So you own something.
That's okay.
It just says Joe's. So anyway, with that, obviously, I'm Smelty. Joe... Our co-host, Joe, it's only Tuesday. Usually I ask Cole how his week's been, and Cole is still nowhere to be found, you know, because of his job. Fair enough. Respect you, Cole. But, so how's your week been, Joe?
Week's been good. I mean, you know, super early. Today's been a really good day. Got a lot of work done today. Did a lot of fun stuff at work today. So, you know, coming off of a really good race, I would say.
Honestly,
like I was talking to some people I was watching with, probably one of the best races of the season, in my opinion.
For sure.
Excited to get talking about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Of course, I am as well. I also agree with you. I think it was one of the most exciting races that we got all season. There was a, you know, what, 15, 20 lap stretch there at the end where not a lot was going on. But,
yeah.
I mean, up to that point, I mean, it was constant. All the way through the field. So, and of course, last but not least, behind the camera there, we got Kev. Kev giving us a little, what's up? With that, let's head right into our Mexico GP recap. And starting off, let's actually talk about qualifying really quick. I didn't put it in there, so I know, again, keeping with the theme of this episode of just completely flying off the rails. It was an interesting qualifying.
Yeah.
Yuki messing some things up for some people. You know, not going the way, you know, probably Max thought it would go. I mean, Mercedes even a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Q3 was interesting. The end of Q1 was wild. I mean, was there anything that stuck out to you for?
Yeah, I usually when I watch qualify, I just very few bullet points just in case we want to bring it up. Yeah, Perez knocked out in Q1 again.
Yeah.
Piastri knocked out alongside him. Very unfortunate. Just could not hook up a good lap. Mm-hmm. And then his tire strategy on his outlaps were like really weird. He had to,
for who, Checo?
Piastri. So like his last lap was on used tires. He just could not hook up a lap. So unfortunate knockout for him. And then Yuki crashing out Q2, pretty much knocking himself and Lawson out at the same time. I'm going to be talking about him at least twice, maybe three times. Gasly, getting into
Gasly.
Q3.
Gasly.
Ocon, nowhere to be seen, but that's okay. Yeah, Gasly, though. Q3, that's kind of impressive. This race and last race.
Second race in a row, right?
Second weekend in a row. He's finding some kind of pace in that Alpine.
Well, and Gasly, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but Gasly also had some great things to say. You know, about Alpine, like things are looking up there. So interesting as we are closing out this season already with four races left after Mexico. Oh, that's weird. I can't believe it's already almost
over. It's gone by really quick.
Another thing that's gone by pretty quick, Alonso's career.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though. Alonso's 400th start. I mean, that's just insane by itself. Did you happen to look up where that ranks on... You know, a list. I did not. I should have probably.
Is it
that
not
made
the
sense. The most of all time?
The most?
Is it?
I'm gonna check really quick.
All right, no problem. Let me just look at the screen here and fill time. No,
but we can talk about Alonso. I mean, it was a really good, amazing achievement. Unfortunate end to his race, though.
Yeah, of course. I mean, not something he was planning on, of course. But him, Checo. What happened? Do we know? You know what happened? I was going to also.
I do have it. I do. I'm almost positive. So Fernando Alonso is the record holder for most starts
of all time.
Of all time.
Wow.
I'm trying to. I want to see who. Lewis holds the most starts with a single team, but Fernando holds the most starts just
overall,
in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it just car issues, I think, for Fernando? He just had some car issues.
I
put Alonso retires the car. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just remember on the broadcast, they're just like, and he's having issues and has to retire, unfortunately, in his 400 start, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
But,
brake cooling issue. Brake. Oh, yeah, I remember there was some, like, debris stuck in the car or something like that, and, yeah, I was going to mess up his brakes. So, yeah, very unfortunate end to his 400th race start, but, you know.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You need brakes.
You do need those.
You need brakes.
You need them to stop, I think.
Fair enough. oh, of course, you know what I didn't put in the document? Man, we are just all over the place today. I just got to see that top grid. I already know who won, but... I want to be able to see everybody else here so I can update all you.
Oh, in terms of like who got where?
Who got where? So yeah.
So we got, I mean, I can just read
you
it
got
off.
It?
Yeah, I got it in front of me.
Go for it.
So we got Carlos in first place. He was 4 seconds to Lando in second. Lando was, you know, closing the gap a little bit, but couldn't quite make it to him. Charles getting 2 Ferraris in the podium in third. And then we got Lewis and George.
Great race for Mercedes.
Yeah, good. Yeah, very good race for Mercedes. Max behind them, and then K-Mag right behind Max, followed by Oscar, who couldn't quite catch up to K-Mag, but was kind of getting there. There was a lot of talk about him maybe reaching Max, and we'll talk about that a little later. And then we got Nico, and then Pierre Gasly filling in the last spot. So again, you know, great race from Gasly.
Yeah, Pierre getting a point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's circle back to Ferrari. Yeah. Obviously, Carlos getting the win. Great race from Charles too. Figured he would have got, they would have got 1-2 there, but Lando was given just enough, and you know Lando.
I mean, yeah,
McLaren
Charles,
had a decent race too. Lando had a decent race.
Lando had a decent race. Yeah, I mean Charles just you know pushed a little too hard on that entrance into turn one, or rather the entrance into the straight. And then went off the track a little bit, giving Lando second place. So you know at least he didn't crash. As I was watching it, I saw Lando getting closer and closer to Charles, and I started feeling the way I did in Miami when Lando was about to get his first win. I was like, I feel like something bad's about to happen. And then Charles did that, and I was like, no. Luckily, didn't put into the wall. So like, you know, honestly, the podium for me, best case scenario, I think.
Sure.
Two Ferraris
and
a McLaren.
Sure. No, he did. I mean, it's a great save. We'll call it a save.
Yeah, really, really good save.
Because it did look like he was going to fly off. He did fly off the track, but it definitely looked like he was going to. Go ahead and total that Ferrari, but
yeah,
kept it out of the wall and still finished P3 after having a pretty solid weekend.
Also, enough of a gap to pit and get fastest lap. Like
yeah,
like those top three dominant the entire race compared to everyone else.
It's, I would agree.
You know, seeing Max break 22 seconds sucks. Seeing three drivers, no matter who, even if Max is in those three drivers, I like that. That's awesome. At least we got some consistent racing, you know?
No, it's insane. And that, again, you know, I feel like we've said it now the past few races since summer break, pretty much. We have no idea at this point who's going to honestly finish P1 the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, these last four races, who knows?
Yeah.
I think we're going to get exciting racing just like this for the last four races, and I really hope we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to see Max not get 20-second penalties, but we'll get to there.
Him not get 20-second penalties?
I gotta play Cole a little bit. Yeah, because you got to beat him at his best.
I
you
suppose.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
He
feels better.
Okay, but if his best...
But he did have 20-second penalties.
Okay, but if his best is breaking your car and pushing you off the track, I mean, it's
I mean,
all in a race, you know?
Yeah. I get you. But Ferrari with the 1-2.
Not 1-2, 1-3.
1-3, my bad.
You're good.
Yeah, could have been 1-2.
Could
but
have
been 1-2. With the 1-3, I look to them to be finishing P5 or better the rest of the season, to be honest.
They're
looking way too consistent right now.
Yep, they broke second. They're now second in constructors, so there's that too. Yep, I don't think they're probably going to catch McLaren, although it's only 3 points away.
What's the
difference. Only 30 points. That's it. 29 points to be exact. So
wouldn't that be something?
That's still very, very close.
If Ferrari shows up out of nowhere and just...
McLaren has to have a really bad weekend. I mean, Ferrari has it.
And Piastri wasn't looking fast this weekend, per se.
In the GP. We'll talk about him because I have some notes on him. Because
they were leading the race, weren't they? 1-2, Lando and Piastri at one point?
No,
they were not.
Never.
God, no. I'm thinking of the Ferraris then.
About the Ferraris, yep.
But Lando was up there, I know, early, but...
Nope.
Are you sure?
Positive. Lando started in P17.
He didn't get the P2?
If he did, it was because he hadn't pitted yet.
I got to figure out what I'm thinking of, but anyway.
If he got to P2, it's because he hadn't pitted yet, but I don't think he ever broke P5.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, is guys pitting and then,
possibly.
How they just stack up to the top
until
their turn.
I don't think he had, like, a crazy long stint, but he had a longer one, at least. But, yeah, we can talk about McLaren when we kind of get to them in the stops. I want to start talking about Red Bull, dude.
Go for it.
So much, right? I mean, you started, I mean, let's just talk about the elephant in the room, Checo, right? So qualifies poorly in general, comes into the race, false start right off the bat, 5 seconds.
His false start, it was because he lined up in front of
the... He did not jump the light. He was completely within... He was fine with that. His whole tire was, like, in front of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, that was...
Had a great start. And then that's when they told him that, hey, Checo, you had a false start or whatever.
He's like, that was a great start.
That's BS. That was a great start.
That was a great start. And he can't know, right? And then, like, they told him it was because he was over the blind, and he was like, they should look at it again. I don't think it was.
Yeah.
And, like, the viewers were like, no, it was definitely over the line.
We know more
than
you at this point, Checo.
Yeah, seriously.
For this situation.
I just don't know. So 2 years ago, he finished third. Last year and this year, just shambles. He was out lap one last year, and then this year he just could not make anything happen. So that Monaco curse that was on Charles, I think there's a Mexico curse on Checo now as well.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Like, a few drivers at their home races, they just can't put it together.
First off, Lando was up front. Piastri was in the back.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you told me that I was wrong, that Lando was in the back.
No, you... Okay, hold on.
We gotta clean this up.
You said Lando and Piastri are up front, and I said,
they were never up front. Yeah. And then I said, oh, I thought I was talking about Ferraris. Yes. And I was like, I swore Lando was up front. And you're like, no, he was P17.
Oh, I still think you said Piastri. Rewind it, or you guys rewind it. Check the tapes.
Check the
tapes. That's fine.
But
either way.
Anyway,
either way, Lando was up front pretty much the entire time.
Yeah, I was looking that up, though.
Yeah. Back to Checo. So the false start, not great. He gets a 5 second penalty later in the lap. He starts fighting Liam. I do have, some Red Bull Racing news, but we can just kind of pin these together really quick. Checo hates Liam.
I know.
Like, that's crazy.
I was reading up on this interview with Checo about that. And, I think this was from motorsport.com. He pretty much hates him. He's like, he's got a bad attitude. He needs to be more humble. All this stuff, like...
Yeah, and there's no love lost on Liam's side either. Like, we saw him... saw him give him the finger during the race.
Yes.
We saw him...
When he passed him.
Honestly, that's the stuff I want to see. Everyone's talking about Liam possibly being the second driver. I want him fighting these Red Bulls. I don't want
he
him
has
proving...
To.
Yeah,
he has
I
to.
Just...
He's running out of time, Liam. He's already been
in
that rabbit hole, got stuck in the reserve driver role. So now is his time. That's why he's being
absolutely
so aggressive. He's
absolutely
trying to take advantage of that.
Yes. There's an argument to say he wants to appease Red Bull, Horner and Helmut, by, like, doing what they want him to. Helmet. But I'm so happy he's going balls to the wall. That's so much fun to see Checo fighting Liam.
And if Red Bull's like, no, you can't be here because you're going to do stuff like that, somebody else will absolutely pick him up.
Hopefully,
You would think. Well, hopefully. You would think if there's a spot open.
So I'm really happy we saw some fighting from Liam. It was pretty dirty. Fighting, I would say. I don't think it was clean at any point. Checo did pick up a little bit of damage, which I think ultimately just ruined his pace, and he lost every opportunity he had from that point on.
With that incident, or with Liam and Checo's kind of feud?
Sure.
Is it a feud now?
Yeah.
Is this officially
a
feud?
Yeah, 100% it's
a feud.
They were going after each other all race.
Band with the boys, officially a feud.
Yeah, I mean, officially.
Heard it here first.
We're putting on a shirt. All right.
Yeah. Even though I'm about to read something off motorsport.com for you guys. But it was just interesting here in the article. It says, when asked how his relationship with Lawson is, he snapped back, meaning Checo, quote, "I don't have any relationship with him. I think the way he has come to Formula One, I don't think he has the right attitude for it. He needs to be a bit more humble." Okay, I guess that's where I
He needs to be a bit
thing.
More humble?
Dude, he's frustrated. That's he's Checo. Half of that is Checo being frustrated with his own current situation and probably his own current performance, which is lackluster right now, to say the least.
Yeah, him saying that Liam is not humble, watching Liam get kicked out of a seat and then having to wait almost a full season to get the seat back, like, that's like, how can he be not humble? He doesn't have the experience to not be humble, you know? Like, he's fighting for his spot, right? I don't think he's gonna try squandering it, at least. So
no, but there's some good fights.
There were some really good fights. They looked at Liam, I think, for a penalty, but they didn't give it to him. And I think that's simply because
Checo to get him a couple times.
Yeah, I think it's because Checo fought back and did the same thing to him, and so they just kind of nulled it as a racing incident altogether.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good to see Liam doing a little bit of fighting against Checo. I was really happy to see that. Too bad he didn't finish really good, but
I can't. Do you happen to have it down in your notes what lap that was that Checo and Liam was getting into it?
I should have that in my notes.
I know you go lap by lap like I do, but for some reason, I don't think I have that one. I'm just curious if that's what triggered my comment.
That was in lap 18.
Lap 18. Okay, so on lap 25, for whatever reason, I put this in our document here, that Smelty here, me, said, quote, "This is a gritty race," on lap 25. So that happening.
Lap 25.
I said that not long after that incident, but there's so much that happened, and everybody's fighting for position.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because we saw Lawson fighting Perez, and then we saw Perez fighting Stroll, and then we saw Max get another penalty. We saw Max get a second, and this is all within five laps.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah. And then we saw Piastri fight Colapinto.
Yeah.
Colapinto was fighting him. Like, he was fighting him. So, yeah, those laps, that's probably why you said that. And then Max served his penalty right after.
Because
yeah,
the commentators were kind of confusing me a little bit when all the Max penalties started happening because, I don't know, for some reason I was just getting confused. So I was also, while I was watching it, I was following along with this. Now, of course, I can't remember. It was something, it was BBC related. It was BBC Live, and people were, like, updating the race and stuff. And
oh, sure.
So I was getting the explanation through there, and it was just... It was just insane.
Mm-hmm.
The Max situations.
Yeah, we can get into that now.
Go for
right?
it. Like, yeah, we can.
So I mean, we saw a repeat basically of the US, except it was flipped over and like amplified to the 10th degree. And I kind of would like to touch back on the US a little bit as well, on how those penalties were given to Lando, because Max got two 10-second penalties. Lando got a single 5-second penalty, right? I think
it's a statement.
It's a little weird thinking about it and trying to rationalize it.
Okay, wait, you got to take off the McLaren hat and put on a Red Bull hat before you say this.
I left it at home.
I'm sure.
I'm sure it's definitely at home. Yeah. I think... So the U.S. situation was so weird at that corner because they didn't start enforcing it until like a quarter through the race, it felt like. People were going off and they weren't giving anyone anything, and then all of a sudden they started handing out penalties for it. And so I think maybe that's a factor in why the penalties were so kind of minor. And then we get to this race and Max gets two 10-second penalties. To be fair, he pushed him off pretty far.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh, yes.
Like, I'm not saying Max definitely deserved those penalties.
For sure. Like, live, when it first happened, I was like, oh, you know, whatever, probably a racing incident, whatever. And then when they showed the replays, I was like, fella, like, come on. And I don't know. I think because of Max's track record as well as being a little bit more of an aggressive driver, you know, and they've already talked to him about this earlier in the season. I'm almost positive. Didn't he have a meeting with somebody or whatever? I got to look it up now because you're looking at me like I'm an idiot. But
I mean, you could be right. I'd
swear to God, or maybe it was just internal with Red
Bull.
But he's been talked to about this, about his driving before this season. So maybe it's just a statement, too, from the stewards, too.
It kind of makes you think, is 2023, he had it easy. He was winning races by 20 to 30 seconds every single weekend.
He didn't have to get dirty.
He didn't have to get dirty. so he lost that skill a little bit coming into this year, maybe. And his fights are just really dirty. I mean, I understand
his fights
fighting hard.
Are different.
I appreciate his. I appreciate him fighting really hard. Like I really appreciate it. But he's definitely getting penalties for the fights that he's in.
And you're thinking maybe because of all last season he was winning by.
Maybe, you know.
Freaking.
This is all.
I
could be talking. I could just be talking like a whole lot of smack, right? I'm just kind of rationalizing.
But you'd think,
you know,
a driver at his level, right? He would have knocked that rust off in two races.
Yeah,
this
you would
year,
think
you
so.
Know?
Yeah,
which
and that's,
again,
that's why,
they
you
started
know.
The season pretty dominant as well, though.
Right. Yeah.
But that's interesting.
They weren't fighting a lot early this year.
His
yeah.
fighting does feel different.
It's very aggressive.
He will back out of things, but it's only if like you have the clear advantage. Otherwise, he does seem to border that line of dirty or not.
I will also say we haven't really seen like him making these mistakes with anyone except Lando, right? For the most part, like when he's fighting someone, like
that's who he's most threatened by.
That's who he's most threatened by, but maybe Lando isn't aggressive enough. I don't know.
With Max, where I'm just like trying to somebody like I'm trying Carlos to make the, is like, I'm going, you know,
maybe I'm trying to make the comparison between Lewis and Max and Lando and Max. And Lewis was just as aggressive as Max.
Max, oh,
right?
God, those are
there
fun.
There would
yeah.
be moments when Max puts him into the wall and Lewis puts Max into the wall,
yeah.
and that just happens, right? But it seems like, and sometimes this happens too. I guess like I'm thinking back to Austria. They both ruined each other's races because they got too close to each other again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe they're one of them is either not aggressive enough or maybe they're both a little bit too aggressive.
No, I think
with
you're onto
other.
Something there.
I
think it would be Lando that's a little less aggressive than Max.
Maybe.
I almost view Oscar more aggressive than Lando, to be honest with you, like within the team.
Sure.
You know, so maybe that is the thing.
Possibly. Yeah, I just know Max
is
different.
Going full bore and Lando's maybe trying to find the right time instead.
Possibly.
Instead of also matching his level of, I don't know. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something to think about and something to keep watching. Max is just performance when he's fighting.
Well, and their
someone.
Battles are becoming more frequent. Lando and Max, and
yep.
I think that's going to be Lando, Max, you know, throw Charles in there. Carlos is ending the season really well, but between those three, like Lando, Max, and Charles, not to take anything away from Carlos, but I think that's going to be your main battles, you know, not only ending the season. Again, there's going to be a couple other people involved there, mainly Carlos. Maybe you see a George Russell still try to make something happen with
yeah.
that Mercedes car that's just not on the same level.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think those are going to be the three that are going to start the season next year battling, which is going to be uber fun.
Yep.
Uber fun. Last year before new regs, right? Next
yes.
season? Yeah.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Red Bull with a wild
yeah, bad,
race,
bad
to say the
for
least.
Red Bull, in general.
Like
yeah.
you said, now getting passed by Ferrari
yep.
in the constructors.
Bad, bad weekend for Red Bull.
They're ending the season poorly. This is you know what? You know what sucks is that Cole's not here right now. This is what he's been wishing for and wanting all season, talking about the downfall of Red Bull, and we might be seeing the start of the snowball on the top of the hill right now, and Cole's not there to kick it down the hill.
Yeah,
he's Cole.
I mean, he said it. I'm not putting Max in any more of my podiums, and I think he's kept to form. I think maybe he went back on it once, but
I might have to if I want a shot. You know, at
possibly,
the rest of them.
Yeah,
you know, we got to work together here, Joe. If we want a shot,
I mean,
at
these guys. I'm not gonna not put Max in podiums. Like, I mean, he's just too fast, right? Like,
is he too fast right now?
I think his car is failing him. So, like, we're still
sure,
on Red Bull,
sure.
right?
Yeah,
by end of race,
no.
his tires were gone. It's yeah. his car. It's not okay. I say it's his car. It's not him. He got 20-second penalties last week. All right,
he put his McLaren hat back on when he said,
"Yeah." He made some bad. Fights right
mm.
but at the end of his race he was losing a ton of time because of his car, not because of him.
Hmm.
Right, it's a Red Bull problem at the moment.
Sure
so if they can get upgrades on the car, he can definitely make it back. I still think some tracks are going to be better than others. Like we saw McLaren just did not do well at US, but they did pretty good here. I would not hold out on Max. It's like at the start of the season as well. I don't think any of you put Checo in your podiums, but I was like, the Red Bull's going to be fast. Like it doesn't matter if Checo's a bad driver. He's going to be in a Red Bull in Bahrain.
Oh
yeah. it's just, it's kind of the same thing, except a little flipped. Max is still an incredible driver. He's going to be able to put his car in front of people. And it just kind of depends on how it goes from there. But his car is not working for him. He's getting a lot more deg than usual. He can't turn. He's always complaining more than usual, I would say. He complains a lot.
Well, yeah, I think they probably have to censor half of his complaining.
Probably.
Because it's probably not fit for television.
Probably.
but with that, let's head right into McLaren.
Yeah.
Again, not the end of the world for them with where Lando finished. Weird race for Oscar.
I think really qualifying was his downfall. I think he would have placed pretty well if he qualified higher. He had a good recovery. He started P17. He made it up to P7 or 6.
He got up there.
And they were talking about him catching Max. Now, he didn't catch Max.
Which blows my mind.
And he didn't catch K-Mag either, which is crazy. We'll talk about K-Mag
in a few
seconds.
We'll talk about K-Mag and Haas. If you're a Haas fan, this is finally your time.
Yeah.
But.
Piastri did not have upgrades this weekend. He did not have the same upgrades as Lando. He will have them next weekend. So we should see a bit more competitiveness coming from his side of the garage. I still think he had a good recovery. I mean, he got back into points, decent-ish points. It's not where you want to see a McLaren finish, or it's not where you would expect a McLaren finish, but still a good recovery despite what had happened, I will say.
No, for sure. Like you said, P17, that's where he started, right?
Yes.
Yeah, started at the back.
It was either P17 or P18.
The fact that you're even in points, you know, of course, with a car as dominating as McLaren, should that be expected? Probably, but I think we still, you know, it's still a feat to get into points from P17 and work your way through the field.
Yeah.
No matter what. Great showing from Lando. Just, again, a consistent driver, a championship caliber driver. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a championship caliber driver. And we're going to see that battle next season. I think it's a real possibility that between him and Charles, maybe.
And Lewis.
Or Lewis. I was going to say it. I mean, who knows? Like, Lewis could go crazy in the Ferrari. Does Red Bull figure their stuff out?
Putting Lando aside, the McLaren is just looking really good right now. It's holding deg better than I think most cars at the moment. Like, of all the cars, I'm seeing like a last minute push.
What are you saying?
McLarens.
Holding deg?
Like they're managing their degradation.
Yeah, okay,
they're managing their degradation really well. So like it's like the McLaren at the end of the race, I'm always seeing them gaining on the next person versus everyone else. Like their deg is really, really good. So it's fun.
So they're
to see
better.
That.
They're better in the long run. You're saying?
Oh, I would say
everybody
so.
Else.
I would. I mean, look at Charles and Lando. Like Lando caught Charles, and Charles.
True.
This is not the first time Charles did that when he was under pressure. Unfortunately, or he was fighting Lando, he just pushed a little too hard. Then again, we have seen Charles do some really crazy stuff in the Ferrari.
He does feel the pressure again. Yeah. Thank gosh that he won Monaco this year. Yes. Honestly, like I felt so happy for him. But I'm watching it again. It just came up when Charles getting loose there. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. That does feel like a pressure thing.
Yeah,
he just snapped it.
You
know, got loose and tried to snap it back. And
he
it
saved
just,
it well. You know,
he
that's
did
all
save
I could
it
ask
well.
For.
No, for sure. We're not taking that away.
I was
from
rooting
him.
For Lando to get ahead of him anyway, but like
not like that.
I'm just happy Charles didn't get his race ruined, and I'm really happy his safety car didn't come out and like added more. You know, more drama.
More drama. More drama. That's what we need.
That's
though,
what we need. You're right.
We need
right.
more.
We need more drama.
Season, but moving right along, Mercedes. I guess I kind of, thinking back to what I was saying earlier in the show here, I was kind of talking crap on Mercedes qualifying and I guess their race in general, but they actually ended up having a much better race than they probably anticipated at this point in the season with a car that's just not there.
Yeah.
It's not on the same level right now as the McLaren and the Ferrari. They're approaching the Red Bull. I'd still like to say that the Red Bull car you'd imagine is still a little bit better, but I mean they finished in front of them this week.
They did. I don't think. I
now,
don't really think
there was 20 seconds sitting in the box.
Yes,
but.
And I don't think Mercedes had to. Yeah, they did not have to fight literally anyone else the entire race.
That's what I mean. They're kind of in their own little.
Yeah, they started fifth and sixth, and they ended fourth and fifth, and that's because Max had his downfall.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the only reason. I the only notes I have of the, of Mercedes is them fighting each other. Lewis trying to get ahead of George.
And
that's
they're
it.
About what? So let's see. 10, 3, 13 seconds. Look at that math. 10 plus 3, 13. Good job. About like 13 seconds approximately in front of Haas.
Yep.
So, I mean, even Haas is starting to catch him a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Is Haas next on the.
If they're not, we can talk about Haas next, but.
They are.
Yeah, you know, good. Good for them because they had an excellent weekend. But with Mercedes, they, I kind of have them in a tier, kind of like I had Aston Martin all season. And Aston's kind of been in their tier by themselves all year for me. Now Mercedes has kind of slotted into that, but they're still better than Aston, you know, no doubt. But. They're just kind of by themselves. I think they can touch P5 or better.
Yeah, I think so.
The season. I don't see them beating anybody else to get a win. Maybe George has a crazy race. Maybe Lewis goes out with a bang in Abu Dhabi in the Mercedes, which would be awesome.
That would be cool.
I don't see it happening. I want Carlos
to win Abu Dhabi because I think that would be nice. I think
we're gonna have a heck of a. I can't wait. Live watch party at midnight or whatever.
Ooh, yeah. I don't mean to derail us a little bit, but just going back to Carlos, I had mentioned this. It's possible we could have just witnessed Carlos's last F1 win. Unfortunately,
what?
Yes,
his last F1 win.
Yes.
He's going to
Williams next year.
I know,
dude.
But
and Williams just too unreliable. We just can't.
They're charging, but their consistency
they're always charging. They're never like consistent with like where.
But again,
they're
with 2026 looming in the background, you know, we don't know who's bringing what. You'd like to assume the better teams will probably start out of the gate a little better than everybody else, meaning Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren.
Yeah,
but who knows?
Who knows? I just don't see a world, you know, unfortunately.
Dang. Last F1 win ever, potentially.
Yeah. That's why I would like to see him win another one before the end of the year.
Sure. Fair enough.
Get three wins in
I think
one
we're
going to
have a number of drivers really fighting hard that last race. And
I hope so. That would be nice. That'd be cool. But you had written something about Russell's car being different from Lewis.
Ah, yes, I did. I was wondering where I put that note. I was just looking for my note on my phone, thinking I put it there, but I did put it in here. The commentators actually said that George Russell's car is completely different than Lewis. Potentially, George Russell's car is only upgraded through, like, Miami because damage here and there. They got to keep repairing things here and there, so they haven't been able to actually upgrade his car. But that'd be that's a long time ago.
Didn't he have a race win?
I'm just saying I'm almost positive that's what they said because I was kind of taking these notes during it, so maybe they said it wrong. I'm not sure, but that'd be wild.
Yeah,
he's still battling Lewis even with Lewis's car having the upgrade.
He hasn't had a race win, but he's had some pretty close races. So that's insane. If he's doing that well in a car that isn't upgraded since Miami, that's early season. That would be.
Does George slot in with those drivers that I mentioned earlier to start 2025 before things start taking effect?
Why not?
You know?
I mean, hopefully we get. I mean, if we're gonna see a Mercedes up there, it's gonna be George. Kimi's gotta, you know, he's gotta be. He's gotta learn.
I was thinking about this weekend. Now that Lewis is gone, and I wasn't gonna jump on that bandwagon, now I should jump on the Mercedes. Now that they're like mid pack, you know what I mean.
Now nobody want to jump a Mercedes.
Yeah, and it's nothing against Lewis.
I love
Lewis. I think it's going to be awesome.
I jumped the Mercedes bandwagon when they were at their height. You know, like well, actually, that's wrong. I started really liking them when they started getting beat by Red Bull. But I mean, why not?
I'm not that massive of a George fan either. But like, I don't know.
Are you a big Ferrari fan?
Mm-mm.
Are you going to be with Lewis?
It's an interesting concept with Lewis and Charles. It's kind of a fun team.
Yeah.
And with the way they're performing at the end of the season, it would probably be fun to be a Ferrari fan the next couple of years here. But I'm not just going to jump on their bandwagon.
That's fair. I almost hated Ferrari, I would say, last year and the year prior. But this year, I really, really grown to like them a lot.
I didn't like them. I really did not like them when Vettel was there for some reason. I just was like... I just did not.
I think it was just the whole like this is the team that everyone knows. Like, this is like the, like Ferrari. If you think is of F1,
if you ask F1 to some Joe Schmo who at least like knows what F1 is, and you ask him about a team, it's probably gonna be at Ferrari.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
You think of the red, the Ferrari red immediately.
Yes,
you know?
It's like and that, and they're like they have a legacy, and they want to get back to form because they were doing really bad when we started watching. They were like doing horribly when we started watching
they
GTS.
Were not awesome.
I was like, I know, I don't want these guys. They're
and
really
everybody
bad.
Was really cheering for Ferrari because they were the underdog. Yeah,
yeah, and I did not jump on that bandwagon then. I was very much just like, you know, whatever.
No, you were a Mercedes fan about that time.
When I started watching DTS, I think it was still McLaren. I don't think I had any true alliance to any team until I really started watching the
and
sport.
I really don't either. That's my problem.
Well, I mean, I do have an alliance
now,
obviously.
Yeah, now, clearly.
But,
Red Bull.
Yeah, but this year for sure, especially after like Monza, I think, I think the saying has been said, like, even if you're not a Ferrari fan, you're a Ferrari fan. Like, it's...
Well, that was cool.
Yeah. It's, I mean, just watching, like, a sea of red and, like, them. Yeah, yeah, it was
sure.
It was so
for
special.
Sure.
Yeah, so... And I also just... It's got to be also... They're just competing with Max, too. Like, they're getting points on the board.
They really are, though.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
no. More than competing, even. So
I really, really grown to like Ferrari this year.
So, real quick, let's just run through these last couple. Haas. Double points finish.
America, let's go. What a race for Haas. Crazy, dude.
Good weekend. K-Meg in... talking about qualifying. K-Meg making it to Q3
K-Meg getting into Q3.
That's wild. And not getting last in Q3 either.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nico got into Q3 too.
Did he? I wasn't sure if he did make it to Q3 or not. I can't remember. Maybe he did and finished
Gasly. Nico did get into Q3 as well.
What did he...
He got 10th.
So where was Gasly then?
Gasly was...
I could have sworn Gasly got 10th. Or was starting 10th, but I
Gasly got 8th.
Oh, snap. I'm not even giving my boy enough
credit.
Qualifying
was kind of crazy. The last three people were an Alpine, a Williams, and a Haas.
I know. That was insane.
I love seeing it, though.
And
I want to see more of
that. And poor Albon with that.
Poor Albon, dude.
So real quick, Haas, I'm not trying to take anything away from Haas. You wrote there, K-Meg fighting and outpacing Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar, as soon as Oscar got behind K-Meg, it was like 5 seconds or whatever, and started closing the distance. So they were both equally closing the distance to Max at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like, oh my gosh, he actually is going to have to fight K-Mag if he even gets to him, and he never could. So like a great race from K-Mag. They told him Oscar's behind him. He was like, oh no, I'm not getting this position. And this was while the commentators were saying that Oscar could catch Max. They weren't even thinking about K-Mag.
Yeah, they brushed him off.
Yeah.
That's not even a possibility. They didn't even bring him up.
Yeah, it was, so it was really, really cool seeing
him. I think K-Mag's having the time of his life right now.
Yeah.
Just racing really, you know, consistent. K-Mag's been consistent for Haas. That's wild. Haas, in general, has had a solid season, considering
I would say
where
so.
You thought they would be.
And I got two completely different drivers next year.
I know, which is crazy. Does that make you nervous now as a Haas?
Because
you're 100%. Just like, dude, we're finally doing something. We could
We're getting Ocon
for best of the rest next season, right?
We're getting Ocon and a rookie.
But we're
going to. You know? It's going to be tough, I think.
So, but no, good for Haas. They're finishing the season strong. It's fun to watch. It's so much fun to watch.
I love seeing our American boys up there.
Actually doing something.
Our American team up there. Yeah.
Calm down.
Last time we had an American driver, that didn't go very well. Anyway.
So, yeah. Let's take about 20% off there. But yeah, Racing Bulls and Williams a little bit.
Yeah.
Racing Bulls we mentioned, but Williams.
Oh, Yuki crashing out. We didn't talk about the first crash.
And we can talk about that with Albon there.
Yeah.
So whose fault is that, in your opinion, watching it?
I think it's Yuki's fault, if I'm recalling it correctly.
It's tough because it looks like Albon started braking early.
How I'm seeing it, Yuki was going on the outside, Albon on the inside,
correct.
And Albon had another car alongside
Gasly
him as well.
Was alongside
him,
correct.
So he was kind of getting squeezed a bit. Albon was moving a little bit, but he was also under braking.
But he was holding his line.
He was definitely holding his line. Yuki tried racing past him, maybe broke late or something.
He definitely
raced past
broke
him,
later than
raced
Albon
past,
did.
Got clipped. And so I think it's a Yuki incident, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then Albon just kind of had to suffer
the consequences.
Yeah, because
Albon started slowing down, and you just see in the in the replay of Yuki just go flying right past him, and yeah, they just clip each other a little bit, and that ends up being it for both drivers. But I mean, so what are you going to expect in that first turn? You know,
yeah, that first turn really does
next
not
year
disappoint.
Mexico with the rookies is going to be wild. Ooh. In the first turn.
Mexico turn one does not disappoint ever.
But yeah, Cole Pinto, I did not see where he finished. It was
he was outside of points. Yeah, not by a ton. He was fighting with Oscar for a little bit, but I think in general it was just kind of like a race
Oscar
for him.
Oscar had to climb from P17.
Yeah, exactly. He finished P16, so wasn't incredibly. Oh no, he didn't finish P16. That was where he started.
Cole Pinto.
Yeah, he finished 12th, so he climbed a little
bit. There.
Yeah,
he was there.
He was ahead of both Saubers. He was a bit ahead of Liam and Perez as well, but like they were kind of fighting each other.
Liam Perez thing is seriously going to be between Max and Lando, Liam and Perez, literally probably fighting for, you know, Liam fighting for Checo's job and Checo fighting to not get demoted.
I don't know if we've talked about it yet, but we have to talk about it.
Hold on. Hold the phone.
Okay. Let's go ahead and finish this
Joe
up a little bit.
Coming out with it. Well, the only other thing on here was Alpine before we move on. And Alpine.
Oh, Alpine.
Whatever. Like you said, Ocon nowhere to be seen. Gasly had a pretty solid weekend as a whole. So, my boy, represent.
Yeah. Gasly doing good. Gasly doing good.
Sorry, Gasly. That's all you get this week. But I want to hear what you got to say because you seem fired up about it.
Why is everyone saying Lawson is suited to take Perez to take Checo's seat, and they're not talking about Yuki? And I say everyone, as in commentators.
You brought it up a little bit last week too, and that is interesting. There's nowhere, like literally nowhere, nobody's talking about Yuki taking over Checo's seat.
Yeah, it just doesn't,
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't really make sense. I think Liam's a really good driver, but Yuki has more experience. He's been on the team longer.
Wait a minute. Could you imagine, though, if they decide to give Yuki the seat, give Checo the opportunity to drive the Racing Bull if he chooses, let's say he chooses it. Ooh. Now you have Checo and Liam on the same team.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. That's crazy.
Let's go do some PR photos.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to make nice really quickly.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
They're going to have to make nice super
quickly.
It would
be all for show, too.
I'm not even sure if Checo would take the bottom seat. I don't even know if they would offer it to him, to be honest.
You don't really?
I think they're going to go the route of Danny Rick. They're going to take him out into the field. They're going to say goodbye. You got to go that way. Keep walking.
So Checo could be done all together.
This weekend was so bad for him. Checo? Was so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So incredibly bad. But
and his fighting... Checo's version of fighting right now is pretty much what... Oh, that was another thing he said, too, real quick. But Checo's version of fighting is almost turning into Max's, where it's like the last resort is just like, let me just get in your way and push you out of the way and see what happens, because I know you're going to avoid me, so...
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what it feels like he's been doing. And that was one of the other things that Checo said about Liam, is that, oh, yeah... I don't know why I'm talking in that voice. Checo doesn't talk like
that. That's how Checo sounds.
But Checo was saying something about how when a two-time world champion is talking to you, and Liam wasn't paying attention to any of that at all. You know, that's where I think that's where he needs to be more humble.
Who is he talking about? Like, who is Liam talking
to? I don't know, because isn't Max a three-time?
Oh, was Liam not? I guess I don't know the context. Like,
he was just bringing it up as an example. He's okay, like, you know,
sure,
this
whatever.
You know, last week, whatever. I can't remember. It was in that same article by. Oh, of
hey,
course, I'm
you
off
know
that
what?
Article now, but
maybe don't be in the position to fight Liam because you're in a Red Bull.
Well, that's why I brought it up is like that's all it is. Checo's just mad because he's not performing, so he needs to bring something else up to kind of level that out a little bit, so not all the eyes are on him.
Yes.
But I don't know. Liam was a little bit too aggressive. If I'm a Red Bull brass, you know, I'm like, whoa.
I think they were both aggressive with each other.
We need to take that down a little bit because we own both of these.
Yes, and that's
you know what I mean.
That's where we keep on coming back to. Right? They shouldn't have to do that. Like they shouldn't. Helmut Marko shouldn't have to go to Liam and say you shouldn't have done that. That should never ever happen. Like Toto Wolff shouldn't go to Albon in Williams and say, hey, don't fight George. Don't do that. Like, that's not, that should not happen, but it's happening. Toto Wolff isn't doing that. This is Helmut Marko, obviously.
Right.
It just, It can't.
Do you think it would get to that point, though, where Toto even would do that, though?
I don't think the relationship between Mercedes and Williams is as tight-knit.
I don't think it is either.
I don't think, like, they have granted, Vowels came from Mercedes, so they're going to have respect for each other, obviously. But when it comes to on the track, they're going to fight each other. Why wouldn't you, you know?
Yeah, you're out there getting points.
Yeah. You're out there getting points. Like, you can, I had a whole conversation with, like, just... Like,
about that
about
particular
about,
thing?
Yeah, Mercedes and Williams and then Red Bull and you know, just like because George took a Mercedes seat when he was in a Williams the year before he jumped into the Mercedes seat because Hamilton was sick. And so they pulled George from Williams.
Right.
And so one
and you
argument,
just don't like seeing that?
I think I, in that scenario, I'm kind of okay with. I don't think
but
it should
like
be happening.
But that's like the only scenario?
Yeah. It's so it may be like a bias.
Or if Carlos Sainz needs an appendix.
Yeah. It may be like a biased opinion on my front because he's not a reserve driver. He has a team that he's already in, so he really should be racing in that team, you know?
Fair enough.
And scoring points for the team. But because he was in the Mercedes...
I can see that. So if that instance where Lewis is sick, you need to use the reserve driver. You shouldn't have the option to pull from another team, quote unquote starting driver,
a full time driver,
driver from another team.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's the kind of argument
I can get behind for sure.
But
I like having the minor league teams to kind of work your way up.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with having these, and this is kind of the point. Driver academies. That's why they were able to do that with George, or that's why George got the opportunity because he was in the Mercedes driver academy.
But now it is weird for teams like Aston and like Alpine that are just kind of, you know, loners. Because is Haas technically a driver academy for
Haas
Ferrari
is in,
or no?
Yes. Yeah, Haas is in the same driver academy. Kick is in the same driver academy as Ferrari. McLaren's on their own. Alpine.
And I think Aston. I think
Aston is also in Mercedes. Is also in Mercedes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they use their drivers as much, but
they use their engine.
Yeah, they use their engine.
Yeah,
I knew that, but I wasn't sure if they were
part of the Mercedes tree. Or
I don't know.
Okay, maybe they are though.
All of my knowledge comes from like the F1 games, more or less. I don't know for sure. So I'm like not the expert at this whatsoever. I think Alpine is by themselves and so is McLaren. Oh,
speaking of F1 game, at the end of news, I will bring up the F1 game again and you gotta tell me your bit there. But Kev, with that, let's head right into our news. And right back at it, the first order of business on our news agenda here. Honda and Alpine, Honda being... I mean, pretty much Red Bull, I guess. But Honda and Alpine fined by FIA for engine cost cap breach. Alpine is going to have to pay the FIA $400,000 for this situation. I don't really know all that much about it, but...
This is the first I'm hearing of it, too.
Bunch of money being thrown around.
So the engine suppliers breached cost cap.
Yeah,
not the
so
teams.
Honda supplies Red Bull, but it's not the team and VCARB obviously, but it's not the team. Here it is. This is from planetf1.com. I've actually used this site before, I think. Shows you how reliable we are. The power unit financial regulations, which came into effect on January 1st, 2023, impose a cost cap on spending by the power unit manufacturers, with the limit currently set at $95 million. The limit increases to $130 million for 2026 and beyond, with the new engine formula coming into effect. So the manufacturers have spent over that $95 million threshold and will be fined accordingly.
Imagine spending $95 million on an engine.
Over that.
Yeah.
that's your cap. You can only spend $95 million.
That's crazy.
Oh, you went over that? Here's another $400,000 fine. Yeah. Good luck.
So, no, does this apply to the cars? Like, are they already using these engines that they've, like, went over the cost cap? Because that could, like...
That's a good point. Or is this for 2025 engines?
Yeah, I don't know.
Honda's paying $600,000, by the way, turns out.
This is Honda. You said Honda and Alpine?
Yeah, Honda.
And Renault?
Yep. Yeah, Alpine's still using the Renault in-house engines. Which they're really high on, by the way, going forward for 2025. And they're really, really, really excited about the 2026 engines, the Alpines are. I only know that because I follow all their crap because I guess if I'm any fan right now, I'm an Alpine fan. Woe is me. But but a lot of good things coming. I'll just spew what they're spewing. That's
sure.
it. Maybe I'll give you an update next
sure.
week for Alpine. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a heck of a lineup.
They yeah.
Who's their second driver again next year?
Jack Doohan.
Oh, yeah.
And Gasly.
Yeah. Well, that could be fun.
Could be. I'm rooting for Jack. Could I'm rooting for all the rookies next year.
Yeah, you're rooting for Pierre, too.
Sure.
You over Pierre?
I was never into Pierre.
Yeah, is he just... I know that, but he's like he's just taking up space.
Oh, I mean, he just had really two really good weekends, and I want to call it out, you know? He's racing
yeah, you
really,
do,
really well.
Yeah,
and you know, in comparison to Ocon, who is not. So, yeah, I think he deserves the call out. Hey, Gasly, congratulations. You got my call out. I know he watches
yeah.
this.
Oh, yeah. He's avid. Yeah. He's avid because I'm such a fan. We hang out all the time. Anyway.
awkward.
Helmut allegedly coming out.
Helmut. Helmet.
coming out saying some things. It seemed like shade at Lando. That's kind of how people were taking it. You're saying he's more talking about Piastri.
He could be talking about
Red
both. Helmut talks a lot.
I know, dude. I feel like he's in the news all the time just spewing nonsense.
Yeah. So the thing I saw with Helmut was that he said that there's like a vacuum at Red Bull and Piastri could fill that vacuum. And Piastri was asked about it. And his exact words were, that's just Helmut talking again. Like that's what he does. Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. There's no, I think Piastri is very comfortable where he is. I don't see him leaving like really at all. You got a championship contending car.
Who leaves first?
Lando
Piastri
or Lando? Piastri.
If it comes down to that moment.
I don't think
we're seeing it anytime soon.
No. I think Lando would be the first to leave because he's been there for so long. I think he would be the first to want to try something else. Whereas I think Oscar...
Daniel Ricciardo situation, time to go.
Yeah, although it's hard for Oscar because Oscar like left Alpine right as they were announcing him as their driver to go to
McLaren. That was
McLaren,
a really
right?
weird situation.
It was an incredibly weird situation.
Because right, they announced him as the new driver and then like what, 2 days later? Or was it the same day?
That
was a couple days
it was
later,
something like
but
that.
It was just like,
yeah.
Like no,
actually,
I will not be going.
That's
there.
Cap, Your Honor. I did not do that.
That's Cap. Oh my God, we're so unhip. anyway, so anyway, nothing big. That's really nothing crazy has came out yet.
For other news, we're done
it's
with silly season.
News
you know,
weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
The biggest thing, the only seat left is Kick, right?
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
So, is it on this phone? I have a work phone and one personal. It's nothing serious. Before anybody makes assumptions why he's got two phones. Okay, so there's an Instagram post by Checo's dad that people are like reading into a little bit here. And he worded some things weird and maybe that's just, you know, Spanish to English type deal. I don't know, but here's the post really quick. And then I still want to ask you about the F1 game stuff.
Yeah.
And then we got to get into your preview. But anyway, hold on. I believe, again, this is Instagram post by his dad. But, of course, the top of it's cut off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody could have posted this and put a picture of Checo there, right? But this was on an F1 page or whatever that I follow on Facebook. So, again, really good source.
Yeah.
The only place to get your information is Meta.
A guy sent me this picture, and it's really poorly cropped.
Yeah. Anyway, it says, your first Formula One race of Sergio Perez, 2011 Grand Prix of Australia. It's a picture of him, young Sergio right here. And then the next picture you slide over would be, and his last race, Grand Prix of Mexico 2024. Kind of weird. His maximum pride, the most beautiful flag in the world, always together until the end of the movie. Thank you, Checo Perez. Today you are the most known Mexican on the planet. We have to be very proud of what you have accomplished. Always remember that the worst race of your life was in Mexico when you were 12 years old and they kicked you out of kartism of your country, 2002, and look what you have accomplished, and the best is yet to come. I love you, son. So a lot of people are taking that like, do they know something that nobody else does? Did they plan on Checo's last final race being in Mexico? That's where a lot of people are taking it.
My guess is
and
last
then a lot of
race.
People are like, dang, he's ripping his son apart, saying that was his worst race.
Yeah, I think a lot is probably lost in translation. Last race could just mean that 100%. The last race that happened.
Yeah.
And his worst race, he's talking about the karting thing. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. That's how I took it, was the karting thing.
I thought you were going to say Checo to kick. That's why you were
no. like... No, not that tinfoil hat yet.
Unless?
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. I mean... Nah.
I don't think he's
Who would be kick. In V-carb for the last four races of the season?
No, I'm not. I don't think Checo's... I want to be very clear. Isaac. Checo is not... Hedjar.
Yeah.
Checo is not being kicked. I think he's finishing the season, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
He's finishing the season. I don't think he's going to be racing in Red Bull.
I think this will be a conversation. I just made it up right now. We will have a show at the end of the season that will be like a season wrap.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like that idea.
And off-season preview, kind of things. That will be a conversation. Does Checo stay in the seat? We'll talk about that as we get closer. We still got four more races to be excited about here.
Stay tuned.
Does Lando catch Max for the championship? But anyway, probably not at this point, by the way.
That'll be tough. Tough to do.
The video game, F1 2024. Okay. You wanted to go off on it.
I do want to go off on it.
When I was talking... to you about
and I'm
it,
gonna do. So. I'm gonna try getting because I wrote a review for the game as well, and I think it sums things up pretty nicely. But
where did you write the review?
It's on Steam, which is where I bought the game. And I just want to be clear. I never write reviews for games. Like it has to really make me angry. But I think
I don't either. By the way,
the whole thing is the F1 game is made by a company called EA. Or it's produced by a company called EA, Electronic Arts, and they're it's produced by another company called Codemasters. EA makes yearly sports games.
They
make F1, they make NBA, they make NFL, they make pretty much all of them, right?
Yeah.
And they're all the same, except worse, every single year. They don't build them till the complete. They take the last game, they add in one or two new features, maybe they change the UI up a little bit, and then they ship it out. It's the same game otherwise.
Put a little lipstick on it. A little bit of lipstick, right?
Yeah. And then they have all of these bugs they have to continuously try to fix. So like some of the bugs I'm experiencing in my F1 24 game, we got to season two in my co-op career. The weather's always the same. It never changes. It's always sunny.
Really?
It never, ever changes. Nope.
I get rain in my single.
Yes. After season two, though, it just stops.
It gets really bland after. I wonder if that's a percentage thing, if they know.
I think
only play past season two, so we're not going to develop anything past there.
Season
3, 4, 5, 6 is going to be exactly like season two.
Yes. I am going to read you the review that I made of this game because I feel like I put it all together pretty nicely. I said, I won't be buying F1 25 if it's anything like this game, which historically it will be. The new career recognition feature makes you play the game longer and makes you unable to upgrade the car to a maximum level, which is funny because after the first season, the game starts to break. It starts to crack. I'm getting issues where, like I said, I don't get the weather, which is it's a UI issue. I don't really care that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also getting issues where I'll go into races and it just won't start the race. We'll be in the starting grid forever, and it will never start the race, or it'll put me in positions that are not my own. They added, or I have a crash mid-race. They added secret meetings for really cool, but at the end of the season, if you won the entire WDC, you still only get to pick whatever your recognition allows you to, which makes you grind even more. The currency of the game is relatively easy to get if you play the game and if you buy the season pass, but... the currency is only very select to a very certain amount of items. They're cosmetics that they want you to pay actual real life money for. And they made them incredibly expensive. And then they also just released an update. I don't think they released it. They pulled it back because of the stuff they're getting from it. The reviews they're getting from it. They wanted to put an expiration date on that currency that you buy as well.
Yeah, that's bogus.
So my biggest complaint...
That's EA Sports, man.
EA, yes.
Yeah, that's EA is an Sports. Awful they studio. They do the same thing in Madden and all them.
They're an offer studio. They publish unfinished games. They repeat previous yearly games with no significant improvements to design, mechanics, functionalities, quality of life. And Codemasters is not doing a very good job as well. F1 23 sucked too, but it was better than F1 24 at least. So I will not be buying F-125.
You are boycotting F-125.
My
F1 series is done for you.
It's my favorite sport. It's the only sport game I want to buy and play.
Does iRacing offer Formula One?
iRacing is so expensive.
It is,
and
though.
Like you have to get to a really good. Like, I am not good. Like, I want to be clear, but it's fun to drive. I'm decent, but I'm not good. You need to be good to get to that level in iRacing. You can't just jump into an F1 car and then, you know, play the game.
Yeah,
like
sure,
it's
fair
tough.
Enough, fair so. Enough. So yeah, this is our main only option, and it's it's done.
F-124.
They're focusing more on the liveries and the pay to play situation.
Yeah, and they have this challenge career mode, which got really old really quickly. It locks you into like a 6-race season that takes a long time, so you're grinding again. I haven't played in any of the multiplayer, to be fair, so that could be a redeeming quality of the game. But otherwise, they just repackaged the game, and they recently just said that they're going to stop fixing certain bugs until F-125. In fact, I think they said that they're going to stop fixing bugs.
So
until
the game's F-125. Already dead to them, which is exactly how
EA they want to start working on F-125. And it's like, great. There are tracks with bugs that when you get onto a certain part of the track, there's like a bump that sends your car flying off way. Like,
awesome.
Which like random invisible bumps that you can get into.
Sweet.
I've talked too much about
you're fine. Yeah,
I'm heated.
You wanted to know how you felt, and now everybody knows.
I relived this. I made this review like two or three weeks ago, and so I relived this as I was talking about it with other friends, and now I'm bringing it up.
Yeah. The energy off of you reliving.
I'm a very passionate gamer, and I feel screwed over.
Yeah, no doubt. You pay money for it. You want to get a good product, and it's just not a good product.
Yeah. Don't buy F-124. Wait to buy F-125. Do not buy it day one. Do not
wait
buy it
to
day
see
one.
Till reviews come out.
Yeah, it's not. They're not going to be good reviews. Hey, spoiler alert! It's not going to be good. But don't buy the deluxe edition or whatever. Don't spend your money until you're absolutely ready. Or I said this in chat. Buy F-123 and mod it. Do that instead. Just mod it so it's like your year.
We're never getting sponsored by EA Sports.
That's okay. I would decline. It'd be a lot of money, probably, but
with that, let's head right into our Brazil preview. And right back at it here to start off our Brazil preview. Like always, like I said at the beginning of the show, this one's just called Joe's, apostrophe S, though. So he owns it. It's his.
Yes, this is Joe's recap of Brazil last year. It is not Joe's review of F-124. I got it out of my system, though, so now we can move on. Okay, so this year, Formula One Lenovo Grande Premio de Sao Paulo 2024. Fun fact, since the hybrid power units were released, thank you, Mercedes has won here all but three times since the new hybrid power units. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but on the game, this track feels like a roller coaster. Like, there's a lot of altitude changes and turns. In 2022, K-Mag got pole position at the track in a Haas. I believe this is the year when, like, a literal monsoon finished the qualifying session.
I don't know if you remember, but
it was qualifying, and then all of a sudden it got really dark, and then it just started calming down.
And K-Mag was the only one that switched tires, too?
They didn't race. They got shut.
I'm thinking of a different K-Mag situation.
Yeah, I think some of them were able to get laps out. But they already had soft laps, so they wouldn't go out on wets. Yeah, and I think the I think like the FIA shut down the race or shut down qualifying because of how bad it was. Yeah. Sure. So getting into the recap, our starting grid is Max to Charles to Lance. Starting the race off strong, Charles Leclerc has a hydraulic fault during the formation lap, locks up and spins directly into the wall.
I forget about that.
Yeah, me too. So with that being said, our starting grid is Max, Lance, and then Fernando. Off the line, Lando and Lewis get an incredible start and jet ahead of both of the Aston Martins. Meanwhile, a couple car lengths behind them, Hulkenberg and Albon make contact, sending the Williams careening out of control further up the grid, which collects the Haas of K-Mag. Hulk continues forward while K-Mag and Albon find themselves in the wall. Unfortunately, Danny Ric is caught in the carnage as a piece of debris hits his back wing and breaks it. I think a wheel literally like bounced off the track and like just took out his rear wing.
Poor Danny Ric.
Yeah. A safety car into a red flag is then called out. So with that being said,
Charles hits hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. With that being said, our restarting grid is Max to Lando to Lewis. We see another great start from Max, who rockets ahead, leaving Lando and Lewis to tussle at the first corner. Everyone is able to keep it out of the wall, and the race finally starts. At the end of the first straight at turn five, Alonso takes third place back from Lewis, who tries to fight back at the next corner but needs to back off. Lap eight, we watch as Lando trails Max on the starting straight, 3/10 behind with DRS open. He can't make the move on the straight, and unfortunately, Max's defense holds him off onto the next one as well. He slots him behind Max, who begins to form a gap. Lap 14, Perez makes a move on George for fifth and sticks it in the first corner. George responds immediately by attacking at the next corner, following closely behind with DRS. However, Perez takes the inside, blocks any attempt of an overtake, and the four laps later, we watch as Perez makes a move on Hamilton for fourth, utilizing some of the Red Bull power. Now, this is where we see it start coming from like a Perez kind of show to a Mercedes downfall. So Stroll overtakes Russell for his net sixth position after they both pit. On lap 27, Stroll makes the move on the other Mercedes for fifth place. More cars begin overtaking the Mercedes as Carlos takes George and then Lewis, pushing them down to seventh and sixth. There's more. Pierre Gasly in the Alpine overtakes Russell on lap 47 and then makes the same move on Hamilton three laps later. The commentators calling it not a contest at all. The Mercedes was in shambles this race. And as I was watching the highlights, I was like, I remember being like feeling like I couldn't, like I was helpless watching them.
Yeah.
Just like fall down the grid. It was so rough. While this is all happening, I wrote this down. Both Alfa Romeos have also DNF'd. The highlights did not cover that. So I'm guessing they were just being Alfa Romeos. Like speaking of retires, George retires on lap 59 due to car issues, bringing a mercy to the awful day he was already having. Unfortunately, losing out a couple of points.
Where did George start again, though? Did you have that? I forget.
He started in...
He was up there.
Fifth?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he started in fifth. Okay, lap 70 of 71. Sergio makes the move on Alonso at turn one for the final podium position and sticks it, and he keeps it through the next corner. At the last lap of the race, Alonso gets ready to fight back and goes along at the straight before turn three, makes the overtake, and slides in front of Checo as they finish the corner. This fight continues through this last lap, and they were close to being side-to-side when they crossed the finish line. Alonso just barely making the position with Checo, DRS open, rocket ship behind him. Alonso gets third by 0.053 of a second. So our final is Max, Lando, Alonso, Checo, Stroll, Sainz, Gasly, Hamilton, and Tsunoda.
Yeah, and Checo, yeah, I'm seeing it here. Checo was charging hard right there. He was giving it everything he had.
I was watching him do that, and it was actually kind of making me question a little bit about how I should do my podium this week.
I question a lot of things right now.
Yeah, and then I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, but last year, Checo actually won a couple races. This year, right. Checo has been just...
abysmal.
Constantly bad. So yeah.
Only 14 cars finished that race last year.
Yes. Yeah. It was, a lot of DNFs.
That's wild.
Yep.
So before we get into our predictions, we got to give you a points update. Finally, I got it all together. Again, we did not do any bonus points last week. Mm-mm. So Tyler is leading us at 44 points. Cole made a jump. Cole is 2 points behind at 42. I am behind him at 36, next step down. And then Joe is 2 points behind me at 34. So Joe and I are battling for third.
Wait, we're battling for... Oh, yeah, third. There's only four of us.
Essentially. Yeah. you got excited for a minute.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I'm almost in
the podium.
I'm almost in points. Yeah, yeah. No, so so to start us off, Tyler, since he's leading, we'll go ahead and give his podium first. Tyler's podium is Charles Lando and Sainz. Charles Lando and Sainz.
I think that's a really good prediction.
Cole, same podium. Charles Lando and Sainz. And since I'm next, I am also going Charles and Lando, but I'm going to get crazy because I need to take a shot. I'm going Charles Lando, and I don't know, considering where the Mercedes started last year.
You're not about to say Mercedes, are you?
Where the Astons finished last year. It makes me feel... But it's going to be... Man.
Say it out loud.
That's a clip. But George. I'm going George for P3.
I
really wanted to go Lewis since I decided I was going to go Mercedes anyway. But it's... I don't know, man. I got to take a shot at something. And right now I'm not feeling like it's Max, which is wild to say. But
that's fair.
Especially when Cole and Tyler don't take Max. You know, there's an opportunity there to move up one. But... all right, Joe, lay it on us.
Okay. So the two that I'm for sure going to keep in my podium are going to be Max and Lando.
Whoa, Max living in the podium too, huh?
I think, you guys haven't picked him. So
world
that's,
champion.
You
that's
guys haven't
I'm
picked
saying.
Him. So that's now had, it's a safe bet. Now, it's not something. A safe bet for me, but it's like a good opportunity for me to get points. And I think even though he's slow in his car right now, he's still fast enough to make podium, I think.
Oh, I thought you were going like Checo for a second for the
no,
third spot.
No,
I was
no.
like, wait a minute.
So my third is between Charles and Sainz. Charles did not race in this. He did not race last year because he crashed in formation.
Mm. Carlos coming off a win.
And Carlos is coming off a win. And he finished okay last year at this race. He finished in sixth. Charles qualified second. So on my piece of paper, I have Max, Lando, and Carlos. I'm going to say Max, Lando, and Charles.
Max, Lando, Charles.
Yes. I think Charles. So Charles obviously has pace in qualifying, and I'm hoping he can show that in the race as well. Hopefully, he doesn't crash in formation again. That would
suck. For sure.
Yeah.
So we all have Charles and Lando on the podium. That's wild. Let me just.
Does one of us have? Oh, and then they have Carlos as well, though. Yeah,
they have
both Ferraris.
Yeah.
Man, watch Oscar get on the podium. That'd be sick.
So just because I think it's funny, the first race of the year, Bahrain, we all had Verstappen on the podium. Two of us had Lewis on the podium. Another two did have Lando. And then we had, the other two had Leclerc. And you had Checo. But at that time, we figured that Red Bull would be doing.
Yep.
It wasn't that outlandish. Our bonus point this week is where will K-Mag finish, his exact placement.
How many points are we going to get for that?
That's two.
Two?
Bonus 2 point. Bonus 2 point. Placement. Should we do something crazy for Abu Dhabi who wins for a bonus 5 points? Or whatever
should,
the difference is between
do,
you and first or something?
I think we should, maybe, we should have our podium predictions, but we should slot them in exactly where we think they're going to be and then have 2 points for each.
Ooh, I like it. We're going to do that. All right. So where will K-Mag finish this week? Finish. Can't spell. Tyler says...
11th.
P11. Cole says P13.
They have them outside of points.
I really wanted to do P11 with Tyler, to be honest with you. But I want to take advantage of the points. You know, I don't want nobody else to be getting them. So I'm going to go with P12, actually.
None of you putting in points.
You want P11? P10?
I want P10.
P10. I thought about it, but P10. All right.
It sucks because it's very possible none of us could get points here.
If he gets P9.
Yeah.
But if one of us does, if it's you, you're now tied with me, depending on how the rest of the podium shakes out. If it's Tyler, he just increases that lead over Cole. So it's... Mm-hmm. If it's Cole, he might be right there with Tyler now, tied for the lead going into next week. So I think it's great that we all picked something different for the bonus points, because somebody could win or none of us. You're right. Yeah. But not all of us. It won't be more than one of us getting the bonus points this week.
Yeah, that's true.
So, no, that's interesting.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah, I do like having, we have different 20 options to choose from. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that's our rule now for bonus points.
Is first
place goes first or last place goes first? So sure. For them not being here, we'll just have to ask them or something. But
yeah.
We'll figure it out. But I do like that everybody's got a different thing. Somebody's getting 2 points out of this weekend.
No.
Or nobody.
No. Yeah, no one. Yeah, yeah.
So, with that, again, thank you for staying with us this long. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the banter. And we do have one next week as well, I believe.
Nope.
No? Are you sure? Hold on. Stand by.
No, we do.
After I already did the closing thing, too. Darn it.
Vegas.